Well, good evening again. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look at the truth. That's what matters. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I oftentimes, most of the time, feel very inadequate to do the Lord's work. And tonight is a good example. But the Word of God is quick and powerful and has the potential to save a soul from eternal damnation. And so we're going to look at the Scriptures tonight and ask the Lord to help us rightly divide the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse number 1. Let me read. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Verse number 3, I'd like to focus on that tonight. The title of the message is The Simplicity of the Gospel. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, in the Garden of Eden, life was very simple. Life was very straightforward. God gave very clear direction. Adam and Eve had very clear understanding about what to eat, what not to eat, how to walk with Him. And yet the devil came into that garden and he began to throw some mud and muddy the water and throw some dust. And in such a way as to leave Eve, especially, confused. Questions like, hath God said? And are you sure you shall surely die? And this questioning and trying to confuse the mind of Eve led her to make a tragic mistake. And it led also into Adam getting involved and the fall of humanity. And the devil has been doing that for a long time. And I know that there's some here tonight that your minds are confused. Your mind is troubled. And in many ways it has been corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And this word simplicity means clarity, simple. The clarity that is in Christ, the simplicity that is in Christ. Listen, there is a simple plan of salvation. A simple plan of salvation. Yet Paul was concerned that you would, or that the church at Corinth would hear another Jesus. And there are a lot of Jesuses around. And receive another spirit. And hear another gospel. And his concern was that our minds, and the Lord's concern is that our minds will not be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ with a complicated Jesus and a complicated gospel and a complicated spirit. I want to talk about that tonight, the simplicity of the gospel. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I know it's your heart to present us a chaste virgin, hearts that are in love with you, And also hearts that have clarity about the way of salvation and the simplicity of it. Lord, I know that there are spirits at work in many of the hearts here to confuse and to muddy the water of the simplicity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. Lord, I pray tonight for each one who is struggling with those things and cannot see clearly. And may the word of God tonight clarify for them the truth. We pray your blessing tonight on us. Cause your face to shine upon us. Be gracious unto us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the greatest, think about this. This is amazing. The greatest decision we must make in life, and it's not marriage, although many people, that is a great decision. But the greatest decision we must make in life, that decision that will determine our eternal destiny, is by design. Very simple. It is by design. Very simple. I, as a 19-year-old young man who had no Bible training, I don't even remember picking up a Bible for 19 years. I was not in a home where I ever saw my parents take a Bible and open it up and read it to us as a family. We didn't pray together. I had basically no religious training whatsoever. I grew up in a public school, hearing the lies of the world. And as a 19-year-old boy, working at a golf course, for the first time in my life, seeing the simplicity of the gospel and embracing that simplicity at age 19 on July 15, 1978, I didn't realize it, passed from death unto life. I passed from a course that was heading to an eternity in hell to an eternity now in heaven and in the favor of God. This simplicity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is centered on one word in the Bible. And that one word has a few different variations, but it's basically the same concept. And that word is to believe. Believe. Sometimes the Bible uses the word faith. Faith and belief are at the center of the gospel message. They're at the center of the Bible. They're at the center of the doctrine of Christ. Believe. Faith. 300 times in the Bible, and I didn't count them all, but roughly 300 times in the Bible, 300 times the word believe or believeth is mentioned. Another 300 times the word faith is mentioned. This is at the very center of what the Bible teaches regarding salvation. Believing. Believing is simply this. I come to the Bible with this mindset that everything that God says in this book is true. I believe His Word. I trust Him. He is not a liar. I put my faith in what He has said. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. That attitude, that mindset, that, Lord, when I come to your word, I'm going to believe every word of it. Faith. Believe. There are many things that you and I cannot do. For example, a blind man cannot see. A deaf man cannot hear, and a crippled man cannot walk. But everyone here tonight, by the grace of God, can believe. We can believe. There is no excuse for not believing God's word. It doesn't take some heroic act. And I thought about that, John 3:16, a verse that many people have in memory. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, think about this, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you realize tonight that that little phrase, believeth in Him, separates perishing from everlasting life? I know that's pretty simple. That little phrase, believe in Him, separates, stop and think about this, separates me spending an eternity in a lake of fire being tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. It separates me from that into a place called heaven where I spend an eternity in the presence of God, being blessed of God forever and ever and ever. Simply believing. Believing in Him. Believing is something we do every day. You know, I'm glad God didn't choose something that I never do. Believing is something that we do every day. God did not choose some strange thing, some entirely new thing to save us, but something that you do on a regular basis every day of your life. And as a matter of fact, you're good at it. Believing. Some of you believe, all of you believed we're going to have a meeting tonight at 7 o'clock. Somebody told you that, by the way, or you read it back there on that brochure. You know, Brother Nathan over here called me, I don't know how long it's been, and he told me, I want you to come out here and I'd like you to come out here and share with us. Well, you know, when he asked me to do that, I believed him. And you know, I'm here tonight because I believed he wanted me to come and he asked me to do so. Believing is something that we do on a regular basis. When your mother says it's time for supper, how many of you believe her? Of course, we believe her. We believe. We are people who are constantly believing what someone says, what someone asks of us. And of course, when you go to the grocery store, you're constantly believing. You pick up a box of Wheaties and you don't actually see the Wheaties on the inside, but it says on the outside of the box, Wheaties, and you simply trust and believe that what that box says is true, and you don't even doubt it. You go home, you open it up with a complete and full expectation that you're going to find Wheaties in the box. That's faith. That is believing. Believing is very simple. And every one of you tonight is very good at it. And you know something else about believing? The younger you are, the better. The Bible says, except you become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. You know, children are believers. They're good believers. I mean, I was such a good believer that Mommy and Daddy told me there was a Santa Claus, and I would set a glass of milk and a cookie beside the Christmas tree on a chair so that I could give Santa Claus a little extra energy as he does his travels from house to house. And in the morning when I came, I saw half the cookie gone and the milk gone. And I believed that there was a Santa Claus who came down the chimney, gave me all these gifts, and somehow got to everybody else's house. I believe there was an Easter bunny that came and brought me a basket of candies and chocolate bunnies. I was a believer. Children believe. I flip houses with another brother in the church, and we were working on a house, and it was close to Christmas time, and a little boy, probably 5 or 6 years old in the neighborhood, was coming by, and John has another son that's about this age, 5 or 6, and this little boy was telling his son about Santa Claus is going to be coming to his house. And this John's son told him, there's no Santa, no Santa Claus. And the little boy, yep, there is a Santa Claus. And John came along and tried to convince the little boy that, no, there's no Santa Claus. You know, those presents. He says, where did I get all these presents? And John says, well, those presents, your mommy and daddy bought them for you. I don't know how good it, wise that was, but your mommy and daddy bought them for you. And he looked up at John and he said, no, mommy and daddy didn't buy them for me. Santa Claus brought them over because mommy and daddy are broke. Mommy and daddy are broke. He believes. Do you know believing does not take great education? Nor are the wealthy advantaged. The Bible says the poor are rich in faith. Abraham is considered the father of those who believe. Do you know why Abraham is considered the father of those who believe? Because one day, in Genesis 15, Abraham was told by God that your children, this is when Abraham and Sarah were too old to bear, your children will be as the stars of the sky. And the Bible says that Abraham, when he heard God say that your children will be as the stars of the sky, even though Abraham was too old and Sarah was too old, the Bible says in his heart that Abraham believed God. It just happened in his heart. He believed God. And God looked down from heaven on Abraham that night and said, Abraham, I see a heart that believes me. Therefore, Abraham, I am going to impute my perfect righteousness to you on the basis of simply a belief in his heart that God's promise was true. He believed God. And it pleased the Lord. Believing will change your emotions. The Bible says, therefore, me being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Some of you have probably seen that train. When I was young, Campus Crusade passed out tracts. And I still remember seeing that first train car, fact. That next car, faith. And that last car, feelings. The facts are Jesus died for my sins. Faith is I believe that. Feelings follow my faith. I believe Jesus died for my sins. Therefore, I can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our feelings directly are in direct correlation to what we believe. I'll tell you a story. It's an amazing story. We had a sister in our church. And she was a young girl in school. She had a sick dog at home, and she went to school. And while she was at school, the dog passed away. And her mother called the school, the secretary there at the school, and wanted to relay this message that this dog, Debbie's dog, had died. And so she took the message, and somehow in the communication, by the time the secretary passed this message on and whoever got it, like the old telephone illustration, by the time the man came to the classroom where Debbie was that day, the message, your dog has died, was changed to your dad has died. Can you imagine? And so the man came to her schoolroom, and she was just a young girl, probably third or fourth grade, and called Debbie out into the hall and looked at her and said, Debbie, your mother called today and she wants you to know your dad has died. Immediately, her heart just sunk. She began to cry. My dad has died. They took her down to the office. And there in the office, they were somewhat perplexed because Debbie was so emotional about what was happening. And they searched things out and come to realize that somehow this message was translated improperly. And they said, Debbie, no. Debbie, your dog died. And all of a sudden she went from great sorrow to, oh! Great joy. Do you know what happened in my heart when I believed the gospel of Jesus Christ? I went from fear, anxiety, depression, to joy and peace. Just because I believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing is something that you do. It is a choice of your will. You choose to do it. That's why the Bible says, or Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to choose to believe. Believing is not something that's just going to happen. You need to say, I choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I read a story of a boy who was in a building 3 or 4 stories up. The building was burning and there was a lot of flames and smoke and he couldn't see down below. And he heard many voices crying for him to jump. And he didn't trust any of those voices. But then he heard his father's voice, son, jump. And he had faith. There's my father. I believe my father. He wouldn't lie to me. And so the boy just jumped from the window, not being able to see what was below. And the fire people were there and caught him with a net. And his life was spared. He believed. He believed his father. You too can release your faith and believe the scriptures. I want to have you turn here. We're going to look at a number of verses tonight. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 10 first. Romans chapter 10. This is a verse that actually I claimed and came to the Lord through this passage. It's used often. It's called the Romans Road. And tonight, if you're perplexed about salvation and you have a heart that is condemning you and you're under guilt and condemnation and you're looking for relief, you're looking for an answer, I want you to look here at Romans chapter 10, starting in verse number 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And I'd like you to notice these two things that are mentioned here, the mouth and the heart. The mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's the mouth and the heart again. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness and with the mouth. There they are again. Confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. There's the mouth. Call upon him. And here's the verse that really locked me in when I was 19 years old. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so these two words, heart and mouth. When I believe in my heart, I can express it with my mouth. I believe in my heart the gospel, and therefore I call upon the name of the Lord. An expression of that faith. And you know, I was at a golf shop that night, and I found for the first time the gospel and I read it from a gospel tract and faith welled up in my heart. And I went out in my car that night and I'm driving home and I'm crying out to God. I'm calling upon the name of the Lord. And you know, since the Bible promises me that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, I knew in my heart, and this is what faith is, I knew in my heart that as soon as I called upon the name of the Lord, I would be saved. And the Lord saved me that night. Now, I'd like to look at faith, to try to build your faith here tonight, if your faith is weak. And I'd like you to look over to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to consider some examples of faith. The Lord Jesus here in his word gives many examples of faith. But I'd like to pull 3 of them out for you to look at here this evening. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse number 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have no faith? Now, I want you to look at this story here for a minute. And I want you to show you a couple of things about this passage. First of all, look back at verse 35. The same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. Now, there's a lot of things that the Lord Jesus could have said to them. And there's a lot of things that the scriptures could have put in here about their conversation before they got into this boat and headed to the other side. But God has purposely put in here these 7 or 8 words. They heard Jesus say, Let us pass over unto the other side. In other words, God is revealing unto them, these disciples, what he is going to do. We are going to pass over the other side of this sea. It was the Galilean Sea, and it was about a 5-mile trip. And so the Lord was telling these disciples, we're going to pass over to the other side. Now, when the Lord Jesus says we're going to do something, what's going to happen? It's going to happen, isn't it? It's going to get done. If he says, let us pass over to the other side, all hell's not going to stop them. We're going to pass over to the other side. The Lord's words, and this is what I want to convey to you tonight, the Lord, when he speaks something, it comes to pass. And so we have here revealed in the red letters, if you have a red letter Bible, these words, let us pass over unto the other side. I like that first word, let. Reminds me of, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be a firmament in the heavens. And there was. Let there be fish and all the animals, let them bring forth. And there was. Let us pass over unto the other side. Well, why did the Lord speak those words? And why are these words in the scriptures? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What did the disciples hear from Jesus? These words, let us pass over unto the other side. And notice down here in verse number 40 what happened. They became very, very fearful. Their hearts began to question whether or not they were going to pass over to the other side. In verse 38 there at the end, they cry out, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Master, we're going down. And don't you even care? And then Jesus says something to them here in verse 40. He says, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have no faith? What is he saying to them? He's saying to them this. I told you we were going to pass over to the other side. Why didn't you believe me? Why didn't you have faith that what I said was going to come to pass? You know what those disciples should have done in the middle of the storm? They should have looked at each other and said, Hey, listen, we've learned that everything Jesus says comes to pass. So come hell or high water, whatever happens, we are going to make it to the other side. Amen. And they probably should have said something like this. He's sleeping over there. We might as well go over there and lay down with him and take a nap. Because if Jesus says we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. And you know, the Lord would have said, I like that faith. But here they are in the midst of this storm. Master, we're going to perish. We're going to die. We're not going to make it over to the other side. We may make it, but in body bags, right? Master, don't you care that we perish? Well, when Jesus speaks things, and when we see things spoken in the Word of God, we need to believe them that they're going to come to pass. That's what faith is. These men had no faith. The Israelites made the same mistake when God brought them out of Egypt and told them, I'm going to bring you into the promised land. And all the way along, they doubted and they murmured and complained. And finally, the Lord said, Enough. These 10 times you have doubted me. You have not trusted me and believed me. Therefore, you're not going to enter into the promised land.
He told them, I'm going to bring you in. This is one of the great sins of humanity that we don't spend a lot of time on, and that is unbelief. We approach God's word with an unbelieving heart. 1 John chapter 5 says this, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Wow. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Let's look at another example in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 11. He is trying to teach these men what faith is. In Mark chapter 11, and starting in verse number 12, I'd like to read the story of the fig tree here. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now, we could stop right there, and that would be sufficient. But God, every word in the Bible is for a purpose. And I'd like you to notice the next few words. And his disciples heard it. It's important for God to let us know that his disciples, it wasn't something where Jesus came to this tree and said, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever, and nobody heard it. But the Bible says his disciples heard it. Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now jump down to verse number 20. The next day it says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold. It's like, wow. Hey, Master, look. The fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. It's like, wow, that's amazing. I didn't really believe that would happen. And Jesus answering said unto him, have faith in God. In other words, Peter, it shouldn't surprise you or startle you that that tree is withered away, because I said, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. Have faith in God. Listen, Jesus Christ's words always come to pass. The Bible says this, I love this. All the promises of God are yea and amen. All of them are yea and amen. Let's look at another example. Luke chapter 5. The Lord teaching his disciples about faith. Luke chapter 5. Here Peter is really convicted of his unbelief. In Luke chapter 5, starting in verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. There you go. The Lord spoke those words, didn't he? Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. What does Peter do? Taya! This is going to be great. Right? He's a man of faith. I mean, in Jesus, he's learning. Jesus says something, it's going to happen. Well, here's Simon. And Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I mean, do you find real faith in that response? Oh, and, you know, it's like, Lord, I mean, I've been fishing all my life. You know, we were out there. I know the best spots. I mean, we were all night. But you know what? Okay, at your word, I'll let him down. So, what happens? Verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. Now notice what happens. When Simon Peter saw it, what was happening here? He fell down at Jesus' knees. This must have been a sight. He fell down low, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. You know what? You know what really smote Peter? This really smote him was his, oh Lord, I am so unbelieving. I am such a sinful man. You know, there's some of those hearts here tonight. So unbelieving. You may look good. You may be dressed good. But a heart that is so unbelieving. I am a sinful man. You say something, and I don't believe it. A man full of doubt and unbelief. You know, there are many people here tonight who could say this. If I heard Jesus say, let us pass over on the other side, I'd believe it. I guarantee you, I'd believe it. Right? If I heard Jesus say, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever, I would have not been surprised. I would have believed it. If I hear Jesus say, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, I would have been rejoicing and confident that we'd have had a great catch. I want to ask you this. Some of you are sitting here tonight. What if you heard Jesus say this? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What if you heard him say that to you? Oh, I would believe it. Would you believe it? What would you do if you believed it? You'd probably do the same thing I did. You'd run to your car and know that as soon as you cried out to God that you'd be saved. If he said, let down your nets for a draught, what would you expect? If he said, let us pass over to the other side, what would you expect? You know what faith is? Faith is the confident expectation of that which is hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the confident expectation. I like that woman who had an issue of blood. She came to Jesus, and in her heart it says, in her heart she said, in her heart, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. That expectation of if I touch him, I'm going to get healed. Not if I touch him, I might get healed. But if I touch him, I will be healed. And she presses through the crowd and she reaches out her hand and God responds to her faith. And as soon as she touches the garment, she is healed. I was preaching through the book of Mark, and one of the things that's amazing to me in the book of Mark is that the Lord always responds to people's faith. The centurion comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, just speak the word, and my servant 50 miles away will be healed. So what does Jesus do? He had the faith to believe that all Jesus had to do was speak the word and my servant would be healed. And so what's the Lord do? He speaks the word. Jairus comes to him and says, Lord, come and touch my daughter. And if you will touch my daughter, she'll be healed. What did the Lord do? He didn't say to her, hey, listen, last time I just spoke the word. I can just speak the word. He said, okay, that's what your faith. Your faith is touch her. All right, let's go. They went over there. The Bible says he went into her room, laid his hands on her, touched her. She was healed. You know, it's interesting. You study the miracles of the Bible. The Lord responds to the people at a level where their faith was. Do you believe I can do this? Faith. Let me read another verse to you before we look at Romans. John chapter 5 says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Faith, believing God's word. Now I want to look at an example here in the book of Romans that teaches this and shows us the way of salvation. So let's look to Romans chapter 4. One of my favorite passages here in the Bible. Talking about our father Abraham again. Romans chapter 4. Starting in verse number 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I'll give you the story again. But God spoke to Abraham one night, and God told Abraham, your seed or your children, you and Sarah, I know you're past age. I know it doesn't look very good. But I'm telling you, Abraham, that you and your wife, Sarah, are going to have children as many as the stars of the sky. And in Genesis 15, as Abraham is looking up into the sky, he believes that message. And when God sees that faith in his heart, God saves him and imputes righteousness to Abraham. And that's the story. But now look down here at verse number 17 of chapter 4. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope. You might think it tonight it's a hopeless situation in your life. God specializes in those. You might think you're in a hopeless place, but I got news for you. God specializes in those. Abraham and Sarah thought their situation was hopeless. It's beyond hope. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's beautiful there. God, I believe you. And you know what happens when you believe God? It gives him glory. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He believed in his heart that God had promised him that his children would be as the stars of the sky. And he was fully convinced in his heart that God would do it. And then verse 22 says, and therefore, because of that, because of his belief, it was imputed to him for righteousness. You know, Abraham, if he were here tonight, he would say, I'm going to tell you about my salvation testimony. He'd say, you know what? One night I was out underneath the stars and God spoke to my heart. And Sarah and I didn't have any children. And it looked pretty bleak. God said to me one night, that night, he said, listen, your children, Abraham, I'm going to make them as the stars of the sky. And I believed God. I just believed him. That's all. I believed God. I believed his promise. And you know, God imputed to me righteousness. See, boy, I'd like to be saved like that. Well, look at the next verse. I like this. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. There you go. For us also. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now here's what you need to do. You don't need to look at stars. And have God promise you about stars and children. You need to look at the cross. You need to come and look at Jesus on the cross. And you need to see Him suffering for your sins. And dying for your sins. And you need to hear God say to you tonight, I judge your sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to forgive you based upon what my Son did for you. Will you believe me? Will you believe me? Will you just come and say, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ really did die for my sins. He was buried, and 3 days later He rose again from the dead. I believe. Look what it says. Verse 24. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Do you know that God will impute unto you righteousness? I love to do this at a college campus. We go to campuses and preach to young people. We start preaching. We have some signs. They gather around. A lot of them are mocking. Some of them are interested. But every once in a while, you'll get that wonderful opportunity in the midst of 30 or 40 young people. And they'll say, all right, sir, tell us how to be saved. And I love to just share with them what happened on the cross. And how that Jesus Christ got on the cross. And I tell them that He took all your sin and your record of evil and your record of fornication and your record of homosexuality and your record of lying and all of that. And He put it upon Himself. And He bore the judgment for it. And most of them know that, or they've heard that. And then I tell them this wonderful news. And He took His perfect, spotless, righteous record, and He wants to hand that one to you. So that someday when you die and you stand before God and the judgment, and God looks down at you and He says, you know what? You're perfect. And you look back up and say, God, you sure you're seeing things all right? No, you're perfect. That He could present us to Himself holy and blameless and unreprovable in His sight. Wouldn't that be something to stand before God in the day of judgment? He'd look at you and say, I don't see anything. You are perfect. You know, there's only one way that's even possible. Is if you and I believe that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that He took your personal sin and He took it unto Himself, and then He imputed His perfect righteousness to your account. Listen, there's no better news in the world than that. There's no better news. It's called the gospel. And I love to share that with young people. It leaves them silent because they know the magnitude of what that means. And so it shall be imputed unto you. Some of you here tonight, your minds are confused. You're thinking about the church rules and you're thinking about the many commandments in the scriptures, and you're thinking about all of these things, and how am I going to sort through all of this, and how do I know and have assurance? I sat with a Muslim man 2 weeks ago at a college, and he told me, he said, we Muslims, we are fearful until the day we die. We do not know whether or not Allah will forgive us or not. What a way to live. I got news for you tonight. God wants to forgive you here. I mean, He wants you to have peace and rest in your heart and your spirit. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be condemned. You can go away from this building tonight rejoicing in sins forgiven. And you can have the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to your account tonight. If you'll just believe. Believe. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you know when we get to heaven, nobody's going to be boasting. Brother Moses is not going to be boasting. I'm not going to be boasting. You're not going to be boasting in ourselves. You know, we're going to be boasting in something, though. We're going to be boasting in Jesus Christ. I mean, we're not going to walk down the streets of gold and say, you know, I was a good church member. I gave money to the church. I followed the church rules. I kept the standard. Therefore, I should be here. All the boasting in heaven is simply going to be, thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for my sins and imputing unto me your righteousness throughout eternity. Praise God for His mercy. Faith. I'm not going to do this tonight. I've done this a number of times. I'll take a $50 bill and I'll lay it in front of this pulpit. Congregation of people like this, and I'll say, all right, whoever wants $50, come up and get it. It's yours. You know what's amazing when I do that? Nobody moves. And people will sit quietly, and I'll wait. And you know why they don't move? Because they're sitting there thinking, people will think I'm poor if I get up and go get that money. I'm too embarrassed. Or they're thinking, you know, I'll probably get up, walk down that aisle, go to that, and he'll pull it away from me and laugh at me. I don't want to make a fool out of myself. But inevitably, some little child will come out and come to the front and pick up that $50 and walk away rejoicing. Except you become little children, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, there's a lot of people here, perhaps, that are struggling. You're trying to save yourself. You can't do it. It's like the little boy in the river. He's drowning and his father is reaching down from the bridge to try to save him. And he's flailing his arms in the water. He's trying to keep above the water and keep himself from drowning. And his father is leaning down saying, stop fighting, stop fighting. Because his father can't grab his hands while he is flailing in the water. And the boy is trying to save himself. And his father is crying to him, stop fighting. And finally, the boy just gives up. And as he gives up, his father is able to reach down and grab his hands and pull him out. I mean, there's people here tonight who are probably fighting, trying to save yourself. I got news for you. You're going to drown until you come to the place where you realize, Lord, salvation. By the way, Jesus is the Savior in the Bible. You're not. He is our Lord and Savior. Until you come to the place where you say, Lord, I can't do it. And I'm done trying. Lord, I'm going to just give this whole matter of salvation to you. You save me. And I believe not only that you can save me, but you will save me based upon your word. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Richard Baxter was a famous Puritan. He said this. He said, I'm glad that the Lord didn't put in there Richard Baxter. For if Richard Baxter would call upon the name of the Lord, he'll be saved. Because then I would question, maybe he meant another Richard Baxter. But he said, when the Lord said, whosoever, that surely means me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. The simplicity of the gospel. Now, I know some of you are thinking it's too simple. God made it simple. Very simple. Do you know why He made it simple? Simple because He is not willing that any of you should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you know, if your heart is in a state of, Lord, I need salvation. Lord, I'm condemned. Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Lord, I don't want sin anymore. If you're looking for a Savior tonight, the Lord Jesus wants to be your Savior. And He wants to save you by faith. Is your heart condemned tonight? Do you have no peace? You want forgiveness? God has provided a way through the death and burial and resurrection of His Son. Maybe there's some of you here tonight that you got in the boat and you heard Jesus say, we're going to pass to the other side. But now you're 5-10 years down the trip here, and you're starting to have questions and doubts. Master, I'm going to perish. Master, don't you care? Some of us need to just reaffirm our faith in the Lord Jesus and in His promise. No, Master, you promised me we're going to the other side. Your word is true. And doesn't matter how bleak it looks, we're going to the other side. Where is your heart tonight? Most of you have religious training. I had none. But we can all come to the place where we can believe God. I want to look at one last passage here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And 3 days later, He rose again. My question to you tonight is this. If Jesus would say to you tonight, let us go over to the other side, how many of you would get in that boat and have the faith to go to the other side and be confident that you're going to make it? How many of you, when you heard Jesus say to the fig tree, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever, you would believe that? And the next morning you would say, hey, look, Lord, it came to pass. How many of you would believe God when He said, Peter, let us go out, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, and you would believe it? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, some of you tonight could please the Lord. You want to please the Lord. You could please the Lord tonight by coming to Him and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I have no righteousness of my own. I need salvation. I need to be saved. And Lord, I see in Your word that salvation only comes through the death and the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered for my sins. And not like Abraham, I'm not looking at stars and hearing You say to me, your children will be as the stars of heaven. I'm looking at the cross. And You saying to me, your sins have been paid for through the death of my Son. And I, like Abraham, I'm going to choose to believe it and embrace it. Faith. Tonight, if you're not at peace with God and religion is confusing and there's clouds and mud and darkness and you're perplexed and you don't know how to get through it, I want to point you the right way through it. Very simple. It's the simplicity of Christ. Don't allow the devil to muddy the water. And if you're tonight condemned and you're guilty and you know you're heading for destruction and you want forgiveness and salvation, I want you to come tonight with an expectation that God will honor His word. And with your heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. come with an expectation that God's word will be fulfilled in your life. Let's close tonight with a word of prayer, then we'll have a song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. And Lord, even as Jesus spoke those words, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Heavenly Father, we pray for anyone here tonight who is lost, who can't see the simplicity of the gospel. Lord, that you would open their eyes, and they would stir their hearts to respond to the faith they have in their heart. Lord, may the word of God tonight increase our faith. And I pray tonight for those who are doubting, whose hearts are, because of sin, even moving away from faith to unbelief, Lord, that they, as Peter, could humble themselves and acknowledge their sin of doubting and unbelief. Lord, we pray tonight that you would save souls through the simplicity of the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we want to give you an opportunity, just as I am, praise God. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Let's take our Christian hymnary and turn to number 228. Just as I am, without one plea, there you go, but that thy blood was shed for me. And maybe tonight you're like that little boy. You're just struggling and struggling and trying to save yourself and keep yourself above the water. I would encourage you just to give up your struggle and look to him and let him reach down and grab a hold of you and save you tonight. Let's stand to our feet and let's sing number 228. And maybe God has spoken to your heart about your need of salvation. Maybe God has spoken to your heart about your need of believing him. Believe him. All the promises of God are yea and amen. You can respond tonight and get some counsel for your troubles. Let's sing, starting in verse number 1. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to the question, what will people think of me? I've been in church a long time. What will people think of me if I acknowledge that I don't have peace with God and I'm not converted? I think of that story of that man there in the synagogue who had a withered hand. And Jesus was in the synagogue that day. And you know, that man says he hid his hand. He didn't like people to see his hand. It wasn't very pretty. And Jesus came one day and the man wanted to be healed. But he didn't want anybody to see his hand. And there they were, many of his friends around and family. And Jesus says to this man, step forward. Oh, putting me out in the spotlight here. And he has his hand hidden. He don't want anybody to see it. And then Jesus says those words that he probably dreaded. Stretch forth thine hand. Stretch forth thy hand. Let everybody see it. Stretch it out. And so this man takes his deformed, withered hand out from underneath his cloak and he sticks it out there for everyone to see. And the Lord reaches out and touches it and heals it. Maybe you need to stretch forth your hand tonight and be willing to be embarrassed. Say, Lord, here's who I am. Here's where I'm at. I don't have peace with God. I need salvation. Verse number 3. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt. Let's sing. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, with fears within and foes without, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, rich, as he. That in verse 5, just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God. Maybe tonight you got a lot of religion. There's a lot of religion, but it's been a confusion. It's dark. It's troubling. The Lord can set you free from those things. Just believe Him. Trust Him. Put your faith in what He said to you, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We'll sing one more verse and then we'll close. Brother Mose, you can come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every
thank God for that message tonight, and I must say there should be no reason that anyone goes home tonight unsaved. only believe. Put your future and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that you have, lay it on the altar before God tonight and only believe and trust Him to carry you through. Those of you who have responded, if you desire to have someone counsel with you, go back to the prayer rooms on either side, and some of the counselors will meet your need there. So thank you once again for your well attendance and your interest. And thank you, Brother Jerry, for giving us the sound message of the simplicity of the gospel. Push away the confusion and find the simplicity of an answer to your need tonight. And thank you so much for being here. You are blessing us again with your presence so richly, and we so appreciate you. So shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for the simplicity of the gospel in Christ Jesus, that the Lord Jesus came and died on a cruel cross on Golgotha's hill, shed his blood there for the remission of our sins, that now whosoever believeth in him would not have to perish but have everlasting life. Thank you for the resurrection and the power of the resurrection and the ascension and sitting on the right hand of God interceding for us. And I pray, dear God, we would yield and respond our hearts to that simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No other way to heaven, no other way to be saved, other than to believe in the death and the atonement of Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear God, for those who have responded, and I pray tonight they may find the answer that they've been seeking for. May right counsel be given and help, and we pray, dear God, be with us all and help us to be faithful and loyal to you in every way, and that we may not miss that great day, that great appointment when the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall rise, or that we through death get there beforehand, that we may have an abundant entrance into your kingdom. Thank you once again for faithful preachers of the Word of God. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.